Gonna have to put on the lights for me, dude. My eyes are fading me. Hello, big boy. Thanks, bud. Amazing. Thank you, guys. Thanks, worship team. So I thought it fitting just to share a little bit on prayer tonight, because majority of us that are part of this congregation, we're fasting and praying the whole day. And so I thought I'd just kind of round up the evening just with a thought or two about prayer and what it is and what it isn't. If you want a title for my preach, I want to call it The Prayer That Shakes the Heavens. A prayer that shakes the heavens. And I believe every prayer that can be uttered by us will shake the heavens in some way or another. It'll get the attention of the Lord, and it'll even get the attention of the demonic. And the Bible says very clearly that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of the heavenly realms. And so we need to understand something about prayer. Prayer is the engine for church. Prayer is the strength of a Christian. Without prayer, we're actually just doing it on our own strength. And so I want to define prayer in a sense in this way. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's conversing with Him. It's an intercourse of one's soul with God's soul. It's more than just speaking. There's something behind it. It's this deep connection. It's a personal relationship with the Creator King. Prayer isn't contemplation or meditation. It's not that at all. That's something else. That's something New Agey, probably. But it's direct access to Him, to God, the Father. That's what prayer is. It's this deep relationship where we can come to the Creator God and go, man, hear me. And let me hear you. And this is my heart. And what is your heart for this? It's just to and fro. It's asking, it's listening. It's maybe even something fighting or getting angry about. It's not praying on your knees necessarily with your hands. That's not prayer. That's an act, a form of what prayer could look like. But prayer is a conversation between you and the Lord. It can happen anywhere. It can happen in your car on your way to your work. It can happen in the shower. It can happen on the sports fields. I'm a trail runner. I love running in the mountains. And when I'm in the mountains, I feel so close to the Lord. A lot of my prayer and is there with Him. I can it's amazing. And so, in a sense, what we've done today, we've started a fight. Okay, we've started a fight. And Tracy was the instigator of this. Yes, Tracy, you were last week because she heard the Lord and we went with it. So it's good. And I was thinking, people will start fights in different ways. If you've watched the movie Braveheart, who's watched the movie Braveheart? Most of us would have. They can take our land, but they can't take our freedom. But I don't know if you noticed, every time he wants to start a fight, what does he do? What does William Wallace do when he starts a fight? No, he doesn't pray, but we will pray. That's our starting the fight. I don't know if he was a believer, but he could have been. Who knows? He always picks up a rock and he throws it at somebody. Think about it. Remember when they're leading those guys into the quarry, the dead end, and they've got like three little oaks there, and they're like, you guys are going down. What if William Wallace and them appear from the top and they throw a rock that hits a guy in the head? Overs. Think about it. Gladiator. If you've seen the movie Gladiator, what is his name? Maximus Aurelius or whatever his name is. How does he start a fight? Goes into the dirt. Every time he fights, he goes to the dirt first. And he gets his hands dirty. He feels the dirt. Then he fights. And in a sense, tonight and this today, by praying and fasting like we've done, by eating a meal together, by worshiping like this, basically we've started a fight. This is the way we've started to fight back. Does it make sense? In the spirit. And so I want to talk about a little bit around Daniel. And Daniel was a man of prayer. He was an amazing man. And the power behind prayer is the heart behind the prayer. It's not about elegant words or big theological terms and stuff. It's just, if you look at Daniel's life, he was exiled. So he was taken away from his family. And he just held his ground. He said, I will pray every day, three times a day, by my window. I don't care what decrees were made. I don't care what would happen. I am God's man, and I'm going to do what I do because I love God. Amazing. He was humble. He fasted. He was an amazing man. He changed a nation, basically. And in Daniel 6, verses 10 and 11, it says this. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, and that was the decree that no one could pray to any other god besides, who was the king of that time? I should have actually read that up. I forgot now. Nebuchadnezzar. There we go. Thank you very much. Or was it Darius? You guys led me astray there. Shh. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Is it up there? Hey, you guys are good. You're good, bro. Didn't even ask you about that. And so even in the midst of a decree that he knew would probably get him killed, he said, I will pray because it's important to me. He went to the same window, same thing, and he did what he did. And I want to challenge us tonight. Like, really, I want to challenge. Today has been amazing. In the sense of we've had no social media, no Facebook, no Instagram, no nothing, and our hearts are uncluttered. Our prayers are clear. It feels like it, right? It feels like we're conversing with the King because there's no other distractions. But tomorrow, will it be the same? And next week, and next year, because if we start well like this, we've got to carry it on, guys. We've thrown a stone. We've picked up some dirt, you know? I want to be like Daniel in the sense of every day, I'm going to be powering in prayer because of the greatness of our God. Make sense? You guys with me? Very quiet. You see, in the Bible, prayer is worship that includes all attributes of the human spirit in approaching God. So prayer is worship. That's what I'm saying. It's all attributes of worshiping God and coming to Him. The Christian worships God when he adores Him, when he confesses to Him, when he praises Him, when he supplicates. In other words, when he brings something over and over and over again, that is worship. That is prayer. So worship isn't singing necessarily. It is part of it. Reading one's Bible is part of worship. Praying is part of worship. Fellowshipping, like we did earlier, having a meal together is part of worship. Breaking bread and remembering the death of Jesus Christ through his blood, symbolized by the grape juice and the cracker bread as his body, that's part of worship. Sharing one's faith with someone else is worship. Doing an random act of kindness. We watched Evan Almighty the other day. It's not the best movie when it comes to theological things, but it was funny. But if you're just kind to someone or love someone that shouldn't be loved, that's worship. We get it wrong. This isn't worship necessarily just up in the front. Every part of our lives is worship as we come to the Lord. And prayer is, I think, at the center of that. It's a nucleus. And so Daniel prays. And nothing happens. If you know the story, you'll know where I'm going with this. So he prays. There's great tribulation coming. His people are getting, they're in bondage. And he prays and nothing happens. And then 21 days later, something amazing happens. He's walking along the river. And he has an encounter with, I think, in my opinion, it's Jesus. This angel, he comes and his eyes are bright and just, Daniel falls on his face. He's so overwhelmed in fear. God comes down and in a sense speaks to Daniel. It's amazing. And Daniel falls limp on the ground, just going, I'm so afraid, I'm going to die, in a sense. And in Daniel 10, 13 and 14, this angel, Jesus, don't know which one it is, it's probably an angel. Let's go with that. It says this, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I've come to explain what will happen to your people in the future, the vision concerning this time yet to come. So let me fill you in. So basically, Daniel prayed a whole bunch of stuff and nothing happened for 21 days. How many times have we prayed and we're like, God, you haven't heard me. You haven't answered my prayer. What was happening is there was a spiritual war thing happening in the heavens. There was a shaking in the heavens. a prince of Persia, which is obviously a demonic thing, was coming against the angel who was bringing the word back to Daniel. And they were, and he was holding him there, and he couldn't even hold him by himself. He had to get someone else, another angel, to come and help him with that. That's the ramifications of what our prayers could be like if our hearts are right. The book of Daniel, Daniel is like he's fasting for 21 days. He ate none of the food that the guys ate. He didn't have wine. He didn't have perfumes. He was broken to his very heart. He humbled himself before the Lord, and he prayed a simple prayer, I believe, and waited. And then that day comes, and the angel comes down. He said, I'll tell you what has happened. We've just had a massive clashing in the heavens. From that day you prayed, your prayers were heard. That is cool. But I've been detained by the spiritual force that's stopping me from coming to tell you what's going to happen and what the Lord is wanting to do. Doesn't that give you hope? That when we pray, yes, God hears, because he's amazing and he's all powerful and he's almighty. But the answer maybe isn't what we want to hear, or maybe it's delayed because we're actually shaking the heavens with the prayer. And the enemy doesn't like that, and he wants to stop us going forward in the things of the Lord. John Wesley said this: prayer is where the action is. I love that. I never want to be a docile, pew-warmer Christian. It's not for me. I don't want to come into church every Sunday and just sit there and do nothing and go home and live a mediocre life and then come back and sit there and do nothing. And honestly, that's not my heart. I want to be where the action is. I want to be in the fight. I want to be on the front line. I want to be the tip of the spear. I want to, God, use me wherever you can use me. Do whatever you want through me. And I think it comes through prayer. It's like, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? And it's funny. Prayer is a funny thing. If you think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's about to get killed in the most horrific way for no reason. And his prayer is, look, Father, if you want to take this cup from me, then so be it. But not my will, your will be done. See, that's the prayer of a righteous man. Like, God, I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how this is going to hurt me. But not my will, not what I want. What do you want? And I think that's true prayer. That's where the fight is. That's where the action's happening. And I want to challenge you, because I'm challenging myself. Do you want to just be a mediocre, nobody Christian for the rest of your life? Or do you want to rise up and be the man and woman that God has called you to be with the power that he's given you through the Holy Spirit? That's your choice and your decision to make. But as for me and my house, I'm choosing God's way. I'm choosing the way of prayer. I'm choosing the way of power. I'm choosing the way of stepping up and being in the front with the fighters. I can't make that decision for you. You got to make it for yourself. But man, I'm realizing I'm getting old very quickly. And those old people with me are, no, we're getting old very quickly. Time is short, guys. This isn't a decision you make in 15 years' time. This is a decision you've got to make now. It doesn't make any sense. There's another quote I want to throw out, and I'm going to start. I'm just going to preach really short tonight. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christians on their knees. I love that. Like, you might be sitting here going, Brett, I'm not you. I'm not called to lead a church. I'm just a nobody. And maybe you are. But if you knew me properly, we've got a lot in common. Who am I? Just a guy that loves Jesus. See, we're all on the same playing field. I mean, Romans 3 makes it very clear. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not even one. No one desires after God, not even one. It's only by the grace of God that we can be brought into his kingdom and do the things that he's calling us to do. And so if I look around this room, including myself, we're all on the same playing field. There's no one higher or lower than anyone else. We're all the same. We're all going to a lost eternity but Christ. And so even the weakest Christian on their knees makes, I believe, the devil tremble. We've got to Because when we pray, God acts. When we converse with Him, when we speak to Him, things happen. You're right. You're good. What was loud? Oh, good. I thought you were having a problem there, so we're going to help you out. Where's you? Did you go out? Babes? Okay, I'm going to use the example of that thing. So I've been... Something blew us away as a family this week. I'm going to cry now. For those who don't know, our son's adopted. And we've been going through some stuff with him and just trying to figure out how we can set him up for his future and find a way forward and stuff. Anyways. But the thing that matters the most to us is if he loves God and like if he pushes through and finds a relationship and everything, like I've been trying to push him into worship and you know, bring him alongside and just, why am I crying? Come on, stop it. It's not very manly to cry. But, and not seeing much fruit at all. And worrying, are we setting a good example? Are they seeing the right side of church? Are they... And with some of the issues that are coming up now with him and school and all that. And the other day, Abby was looking at a book and a prayer falls out. And it was written by him. He's turning 12. I didn't even find out about it until a couple of days later. And it's just like, thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you that I feel so safe. Thank you. Even praying for other people to come back to church. He's 11. And I'm going, thank you, God. Because on the outside, I couldn't see anything. But that's not what prayer is about. It's not really about what it is, but it isn't. You know what I mean? Like, when we read that, well, I haven't even seen it. I don't even know where it is. I was like, oh, that is a righteous prayer. And just lists whole bunches of written in his hand. Didn't tell a soul. I think he wrote it somewhere in the beginning of this year. And it just blew me away. And I know that God heard those prayers. Because I can see it changing him. And if he can, 11-year-old, write a prayer like that I believe is powerful, so can you and so can me. It's awesome. And the very fact that as Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And what it means is up to that point in history, only the high priests could go in once a year to the absolute presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. And Jesus' death for us actually tore that temple in two. What that means for us is this, that every single one of us, doesn't matter where we've come from, doesn't matter where our lives are heading, doesn't matter if we're English or Afrikaans or black or white, doesn't matter how bad we've been, doesn't matter how bad we are now, doesn't matter what the filth of our hearts want to do tomorrow. The power of Jesus is this, that as that curtain was torn, there was an earthquake. And the Bible says that people that were dead came back to life and started walking around again. Power. What that means for us in the spirit is this. Prayer is that coming into the Holy of Holies. Prayer is, God, I see the temple torn. I'm coming in. What that does is revives our soul. It makes us walk around again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can have that. You can. All you got to do is take it. I think I'm going to end there because I can't see you and my eyes are burning. Please, I know prayer is hard sometimes because you can't see God. Thanks, babe. See, best wife ever. Whoa, that's a lot. How much crying have I done? How bad does it look? Where was it? No, I couldn't remember. I was closing off. Thank you. So, in a sense, I want to do two things. There may be some amongst us that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't know Him like I know Him. You're not walking with Him. You don't desire to. But something maybe has shifted in your heart tonight. You might be looking at me going, that guy's crazy. Crazy guy. But something's different. I'd love to just pray with you guys. And then for the rest of us who do believe in Jesus, I want us to, in a sense, commit ourselves to prayer again tonight. But look, if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to commit, please, there's no condemnation. No one's going to look down at you, honestly. But if there is a true sense of, man, something's shifted in us today, and I want more of that, I want us to stand together in unity and just say, God, here we are. Because I know tomorrow's going to come and the devil's going to try to take our feet from underneath us. And that's where it's going to matter. That's when this message tonight and what's happened today will come into play. And so could I just ask us to close our eyes quickly and then let's just pray together. God, I want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for today. Thank you for every single family that's represented here tonight. Thank you for the individual. Thank you that you love your church and you love, I believe, all people. And your will is that we all get saved. We all have a relationship with you. We all come to a place where we can pray, we can converse, we can speak to you, we can argue with you. We can fight with you from time to time. We could just be real with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father God, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. Not so that we can be condemned any longer, but that we could have life. That we could know what it is to have a personal relationship without any hindrances to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I want to pray right now that if there is anybody or any people here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that have never got to that place where they've received your forgiveness and received your grace and your mercy. If there's people here that have never got to that place going, man, if I die tonight, I don't know where I'm going. Lord, if there's any here, Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you'll make them alive tonight. That you'll prompt their hearts, that there'll be a shifting in their spirits, Lord. Even if they don't understand totally what they're doing, Lord, that there'll be a starting point of them starting to walk with you for a desire for you and for your church and for prayer and fellowship and all these things that we've been doing tonight. So I'm going to invite you. Salvation is free. And a lot of people, and if you can keep your eyes closed, that'd be amazing. Salvation is free because Jesus paid the price. He took the price upon himself. And salvation is simple. It's easy to understand in a sense. It's Jesus took your sin upon himself. He died and that sin was taken away on him so that you could be saved and I could be saved. Jesus said with his own words, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, salvation will come to you. And so for those who might be amongst us tonight, you going, man, Brad, I don't know, quite know where I'm going to go. I know that I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I know that of him, but I have never given my life to him. I've never asked him to forgive me. I've never done these things that you are speaking to. I would love to invite you to believe in your heart tonight and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. I'm telling you now, your life will never be the same again. Ever. So as eyes are closed, if there's anyone here tonight like that, you go, man, Brett, I want that thing. Could you just, oaks aren't looking around. I'm the only one looking around. I'm not here to embarrass. I'm not here to make you feel uncomfortable. But if you're like, Brett, that's me. I want to respond to what God is saying to me. Could you just show me quickly, just quick hand, and I'd love to pray with you. Is that a hand or is that a worship thing? So hand, wonderful, fantastic, awesome. Anyone else? So Like, this is your moment. Thank you, buddy. Anyone else? Amazing. So if you don't have the words, and maybe if you're a believer with me, could you just pray out loud with me as we believe in our hearts and confess, and just trusting that God will come and do that. So can we all just pray together, and that gentleman. Say, Father God, I believe in my heart, and this is my confession, that I believe you came to earth, you died for me, you rose again on the third day. I ask you to forgive me, to pour your mercy and your love upon me. I commit my life to you today. And I live for you. Lord, as we've prayed that together, Lord, your word says that angels in heaven are rejoicing at the saving of one soul. And there's a massive party in heaven. That's awesome. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to just say to you that salvation is a lifelong thing. I got saved in 1985. Been living with the Lord for over 30 years. And every single day I'm learning more about Him. He's so big. We can never get the fullness of who He is. And so I want to encourage you that today's a starting point for a relationship. Doesn't always happen all at once. Just start walking with the Lord. Amazing, amazing. Super pumped. Cool. And then for those who are believers, and before we break bread, if you're going bread, I want to stand with you, because I'm standing. I'm speaking to myself as well. I want to commit my life to prayer. I want this to be a starting point of something new. We've thrown the first stone now. We're in a fight. If that's you and you're going bread, I want more of this. Can you stand with me in faith? I'm just going to pray together. This is a commitment to the Lord.